Let us then turn in God's words to Exodus chapter 32 as we continue in our study of Exodus. We come to the golden calf. So let us look at God's word this morning as we continue that study and as we are reminded of the danger, even in the midst of the amazing things going on around Israel. How quickly, how easily we as human beings take our eyes off of that which is God is doing and focus and turn from Him to the things of this world. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, Get down. For your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Then they turned aside. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. I will make of you a great nation.' Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, "He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the star of the heaven.' And all this land I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And I said to him, 'Whoever has any gold, let them break it off.' So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out." Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, Then Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people to that place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin." So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we read a very familiar story. And yet, it's a very powerful story. Because as we consider the golden calf, as we consider the worship of idols, too often we think of an idol as some sort of image somebody sets up like this. And yet, brothers and sisters, the idols which we so easily have are often not an image. We have idols. Of course, the Catechism asks the question, question answer 95, what is idolatry? Idolatry is to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust instead of or besides the one true God who has revealed himself in his word. To put our trust in something besides or alongside of the one true God who has revealed himself in his word. And of course, as we look at this passage, we have to have in the back of our minds that God has been caring for the Israelites. He has been providing them food, manna. That he has been very evident in that they, as they lived, had a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. This is not something where you have the Israelites off on their own in the middle of nowhere without any reminder of God. And at this point, Moses is up on Mount Sinai and he is in the cloud and in the fire. And for the Israelites, this was very obviously a horrific sin against Almighty God. But as we consider our own hearts, as we consider that we so easily go after other things than God, putting them first, it is for us a horrific sin as well to put our trust in something else alongside of or instead of Almighty God. And so as we look at this passage of God's word, the theme that we want to see is Israel receives God's wrath for worshiping an idol. That's the theme. Israel receives God's wrath for worshiping an idol. In verses 1 through 6, we see that they are tired of waiting for Moses and therefore make an idol. In verses 7 through 29, we see that Moses descends the mountain and exhibits God's wrath against idolatry. And then in verses 30 through the end of the chapter, we are reminded of the wonderful intercession which Moses makes for Israel. Moses continues to intercede for Israel. And something we have to see as we read through this passage and be reminded that our Savior intercedes for us continually before the throne of God. He is not like Moses in that he has fully paid for our sins. And yet, brothers and sisters, we have to understand how easy it is and how often we make gods of other things. We worship other things instead of or beside Almighty God. And so we have to realize the wonder of Christ's intercession on our behalf and that it is perfect. And so first of all, we see the Israelites were tired of waiting for Moses. And so they make an idol. They address Aaron. Now that's very interesting. Aaron has become priest, God. And yet they address him. Moses had been delayed in coming down the mountain. Even in the midst of God giving them his commandments, the people's minds wander. How often are we unwilling to wait for God? God doesn't do stuff on our time plan, does he? God does in his time. Think of how long David had had to wait after being anointed to be made king. God does things on the order of his time. And sometimes our lives are too short. And we don't get to see the end from the beginning. God is the one. And so the Israelites' request to Aaron is this: come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. He went up on the mountain, and there's fire and there's cloud up there. We're not sure what happened to him. But they are specifically straight up asking Aaron to make an idol. And Aaron should have smacked him upside the head. We read that later on in the passage. Aaron had not restrained them as he ought to have done. Sometimes God places us in a position as, whether it's a leader or whether it's just someone in the congregation, to stand up and say, whoa, 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 wait a second. What does God say about this? And Aaron certainly should have had that office. And God calls him out for that fact. Specifically, Moses does. And yet, he didn't do anything. And as Christians, we have the ability to stand up to anything. Kings, princes, pastors. With the word of God. That is, of course, what Luther said. That it is safer to be on the side of the word of God than it is to be with all of the weapons on earth pointed, of course, at him. And so Aaron fashions a molded calf. Notice the materials. Golden earrings were to be taken from their wives, sons, and daughters. It's kind of interesting that he doesn't mention it of themselves. And this is how people carried their wealth in those days. In earrings or nose rings, they would have big gold earrings or nose rings, which would have their money, really, as part of these things. This was the plunder that God had provided for them as they left Egypt. Always when we are rebelling against God, we are doing it relying on his provisions and blessings. This week at camp, we spent our time looking at the defense of the faith. And as we dig down, as people fight against God in our culture and throughout world history, we have to understand that God's the one that's giving them breath to do it with. And as well here, the Israelites, as they fashion this golden calf, this is with the stuff God gave them. Their riches that they took out of Egypt, they devoted to the worship of this abomination. And so, verse 4, Aaron fashioned a calf made of that gold. Notice here the fact that Aaron fashioned it, verse 4, with an engraving tool. This will come up later as Aaron lies about what happened. And Aaron proclaims a feast to the Lord. Notice that he uses the name of God there at the end of verse 5, Yahweh. Aaron built an altar in front of it and proclaims this feast. Notice that Aaron is trying to point this to the glory of God, even in the midst of making an idol. This is why we don't make pictures and images. This is one of the places we have to understand that we go. Because what happens? We may make it to somehow represent God, but we start worshiping it instead of God. It becomes the representation of God for us. And God will not have us worship an idol by which to worship Him. God deserves worship. And Jesus said, they that worship must worship in spirit, neither here nor in Jerusalem. But God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we are not to make idols, whether that be for the purpose of worshiping the true God through them, or whether that be for worshiping somehow something else. But what do we have with the people? They rose up early, verse 6. They brought burnt offerings and peace offerings. Notice how they're putting together and mixing up what was required in the worship of God, and yet at the same time, they were doing it in an entirely unrestrained manner, in an entirely unbiblical manner. We read there in verse 6 that the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That they were not worshiping according to God's commandments and God's requirements. And so, God sends Moses down the mountain. And Moses exhibits God's wrath against the idolatry. God promises destruction on Israel. And what does Moses do? Moses intercedes for them. God tells Moses that the people, I love verse 7, for your people whom you brought out of the... God's blaming Moses for this. And yet at that same time, how does Moses respond? He says, God says they have corrupted themselves. This same word is the corruption that God speaks of concerning the people before the flood. That's that same idea. They have gone after foreign gods. And God tells Moses exactly what happened. Notice how God understands their worship. Even though Aaron had said this was for the Lord, they have made themselves, verse 8, a molded calf, and worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Aaron may have been trying to make it a representation of God, but God doesn't see it that way. And the Lord tells and reminds Moses of Israel's continued fault. They are stiff-necked. Brothers and sisters, let this be a reminder to us. And by the way, the psalmist spends time telling us the same thing. Not to be stiff-necked when we hear God's word. Not to hear God's word and turn away and say, what? I don't want to do that. I'm going to do it my way. It's so easy to do. And so God tells Moses, get away from me. My anger is going to burn. I'm going to consume these. I'm going to make you a great nation. And Moses intercedes for Israel. Again, I want to remind us as we consider that Christ intercedes for us. Moses pleads for Israel. Notice what he bases his pleading for Israel on. Verse 11. By the great power by which God had saved Israel from slavery in Egypt. Moses pleads based on the fact that the Egyptians will assume that God is weak, to turn God's fierce wrath and relent from the harm to his people. Verse 13, Moses pleads based on God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's oath by himself to multiply their descendants as the stars of heaven. This is, by the way, a good reminder for how do we plead with God? Based on his promises, based on his glory. And so God relented from the harm, verse 14, that he said he would do to his people. And Moses and Joshua then descend from the mountain. Moses is carrying these tablets of stone that were engraved by God. I can't even imagine. I would love to think of what the beauty of that would be. And so Moses and Joshua hear the sound in the camp. And Joshua, by the way, Joshua was kind of at a resting station on the mountain. Joshua was not directly with God like Moses had been. And so Joshua identifies the sound as that of war. And Moses says, no, it's not victory. It's not defeat. It's singing. Because, of course, God had told Moses, we saw that, what was really happening. And so Moses comes down the mountain and we see his anger reflects the anger of God. Notice the fact that Moses had interceded for Israel, but now Moses burns hot with the anger of God. We can love someone who is in sin, and yet we can still be very angry at them and call them back to the Word of God. It is love to do that. It is not mean. It is a loving thing to call someone back to Christ. And so Moses destroys these tablets made by God. He saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses takes the calf, burns it with fire, grinds it to powder, and pours it on the water which they drink. Why does he do that? Makes the water taste nasty for certain. Why did they do that? Because the calf was nothing. Idols are nothing. The things we put our trust in are nothing. God is God. And we have to understand that he gets primacy of place. God doesn't play second fiddle. God says at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other God before me. Remember the rich young ruler when he claims he had kept all of God's commandments. Jesus says, sell all that you have and follow me. Do we make our stuff into gods? Do we make our kids, our parents into gods? We need to be based on God and on his word, not on the things that we as human beings desire. Notice what it cost them as Israel. All this gold they gave up. Wasn't useful after that, was it? What do we do? What do we give up following after junk? Because that's so important to me. And we cast our money at it. When God is the one whom we are to follow. Remember what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We live in a culture that says, I want stuff, I want relaxation. Notice what we read in the catechism this morning. We can rest in God. Our world is looking for rest everywhere else. And God is the one in whom we rest. And so Moses interrogates Aaron, what did they do to you? I mean, it must have been torture, right? No. They said, make us gods, verse 23, to go before us. Notice how Aaron twists the history. The calf, they gave him the gold. And Aaron threw it at the fire. Here comes a calf out. Think about how we think of history. Well, it just happened. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled by that. We are sinners. We need the grace of God, and we need to come before God, not saying, well, God, it just happened. And saying, God, I sinned. I deserve your judgment. It is only your grace that can save me. By the way, think about Aaron for just a second. This was a far worse sin for Aaron to be doing, even than all the Israelites. But remember as well the grace of God to Aaron. When we fail, when we fall, we need to fully acknowledge our sin. And at some point we know that because later on God says concerning Aaron that God used him and that he is one of God's people. Aaron messes up later on too, by the way. Those of you who have been reading through the Bible can remember that he opposed Moses. And so Moses calls for those who are on the Lord's side to execute God's vengeance. The people have been restrained in their sin. Being unrestrained in our sin brings shame on us and on God. And so Moses calls into the camp, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And the sons of Levi come forth to Moses. And Moses calls for them to bring God's judgment, at least part of it, to gird on their swords and kill their brothers, their companions, their neighbors. This is the anger of God demonstrated through Moses against the sin of idolatry. Remember that when we are tempted to put something in front of God. And so the children of Levi answer God's call. They come, they gird on their swords, and they kill about 3,000 of the people. And so having meted out some of God's justice against this sin, God calls the Levites to consecrate themselves, verse 29, because God was going to bestow a blessing upon them. And so Moses, this isn't over of course, Moses then calls the people together in the morning and says, you have sinned grievously against God. And I will go up on the mountain and I will see if I can make atonement for their sin. But notice that Moses cannot make atonement. Moses can't cover it. Moses is not Christ. And we read in verse 34 that they died in their sins, those who had done this. And so Moses, having told the people what he was going to do, goes up on the mountain, verse 31, returns to the Lord, confesses the sin of the people. And Moses, this prayer always shakes me to my bones, prays that if God will not forgive their sin, blot me out of your book, verse 32, which you have written. And God promises that he will continue with this people. Notice verse 33. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. God's not going to blot Moses out. But notice also God promises his continued presence with Israel. Yet he will visit punishment upon them for their sin, verse 34. And God plagued the people for their sins with the calf. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to understand how bad it is to put our trust in something instead of God, beside God. And brothers and sisters, we have to realize what idols are and how easy it is for us to make idols. That's what John Calvin said, that human beings are idol factories. We have one coming and the next one's after that. And brothers and sisters, we are called to cast down all things, trusting in Christ, trusting alone in God. That he is the one that we worship, that he is the one we honor. Amen. Let us then bow our heads before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would not put anything ahead of you. That we would not put anything in our lives in primacy of place before Almighty God. And we pray, Lord, that our whole lives would show that forth. That you are He who has saved us. That you are He who has paid our penalty. Even as we see the inadequacy of Moses, even as he did an amazing job of interceding for your people in the midst of their sin before your throne, yet we look to He who is a far greater intercessor, mediator between God and man. That our Lord Jesus Christ intercedes on the fact of His paid sacrifice. And yet, Lord, even as we consider the grace that you have toward Israel and the grace that you have toward us in our sins, we pray, Lord, that we would truly hate sin. That we would truly call people back from sin to the grace that you have toward sinners in Christ Jesus. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness which we have in you. And we pray, Lord, that we would not go after idols, that we would not place something higher than you, but indeed that we would glorify and honor you in everything that we say and do and think. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.